Well, it is the Sunday after Easter, and nothing has changed. Jesus is still risen. We still celebrate the same Lord and Savior and King. And spring break is coming to an end, so maybe we're feeling a little bit of feelings about that. I don't know. Some of you, it's spring break. Y'all had spring. Some of y'all had spring break this week. Are you looking forward to go back to school? Yeah, teacher. Oh no. Oh, that was really quick. I can't imagine why. Maybe it has something to do with, I don't know, interacting with people. People are great, aren't they? They're the worst. People are the worst. We'll get to that in just a second, actually. Last week, I just want to make mention that we celebrated two baptisms last week as part of Easter Sunday. Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you're here for our 8:30 service, then you might not have been here for the 10 o'clock, but hopefully you've seen some of that video or pictures on our social media and being able to celebrate with Colin and Heather. Just amazing, amazing stuff. Continue to pray for them, especially as they're teenagers, as they grow up and grow in their faith. If that is something that you have been considering and been thinking about, saying yes to Jesus, being immersed in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we would love to talk to you about that, what that means and what that looks like. And we'd love to have that conversation. So let us know. People are interesting. Maybe you thought that passage that Sarah read for us here at the beginning, you know, that passage of Scripture, especially how it ended, you know, maybe a little bit kind of like, oh, that sounds kind of harsh. Like, what's going on with that? Well, anytime you deal with people, things get messy. And people can just be the worst. Anybody work any customer service jobs at all where you deal with people? Yeah, my oldest is working fast food, you know, so I know, I'm not telling any stories today, you know, for that, but I know she's had some really interesting interactions with customers before. That can be kind of crazy. I've worked retail before. I've worked with customers, worked in a grocery store, and all kinds of interesting things can take place. People can be really difficult to get along with, but we often find ourselves in plenty of situations where we don't have any choice but to get along with them, or at least sometimes you just find yourself having to live next to them. Anybody get nervous when you have a new neighbor move in next door? Or have you had that happen before? We were kind of like, neighbors are like a box of chocolates. I mean, this has happened to us where we live out in the middle of nowhere and we've had our neighbors change. And that can mean all kinds of different things out in the country. There's this one place, there's this one road, if we need to go north, back in the middle of nowhere, north of Lake Anna, we take this road, and every time we go down this road, we pass this house that has a permanent, some of you will have seen this before, probably, and you could Google it, I mean, it's on the internet. There's this house, and they have a permanent, I'm talking about, like, they put in wooden posts in there. They've made a nice permanent wooden sign. They've got lettering there that's weatherproof, all that kind of stuff. And the sign has an arrow pointed to their neighbor's house, and it says, "Dog killer next door." All right. So some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have seen that. That's here in Virginia, not too far away. That's actually not the only time I've seen a sign like that. That's just the only one that I know of that's just permanently there. It's been there for years. And I see it every time we go that way. Now, you know, you get a new neighbor and you're like, depending on your personality, you know, I don't know what you want. Some of us want, hey, we want somebody who's like going to have cookouts, invite us over and want to come over, you know, people we can hang out with. Other of us are like, we just want somebody that'll maybe nod and wave and that's it. Like, I don't want any more interaction with that. But can you imagine what that story is? I have a lot of curiosity, not enough for me to stop by and knock on the door and ask. Because as much as, like, whatever happened is a terrible thing, I don't know what the situation is. I don't know what the story is. Maybe, you know, the next door neighbor is just somebody who's trigger happy and, like, anything that moves, they're popping off. Maybe the person who owned the dog, I mean, maybe it was a dog that was attacking and killing their livestock or attacking their kids or something. I don't know what the story is. I'm not trying to say that there's some justification from one side or the other and we should, you know, I have no idea. But what I do know is, it's probably tough living next door to someone like that. You would think at some point somebody would want to move on. I don't know. I want to know. I want to know the story, but what I do know is it's really easy to make assumptions. And I don't know what the story is. I don't know what happened between the two of them. But what I do know is two things. It's messy, and it's difficult, and it's sad. Absolutely, 100%. And the second thing I know for a fact is that sign isn't accomplishing anything. It's not accomplishing anything. If you've ever interacted with another human being, you know that people can be difficult. Do you know who else is really aware of that? God. He made us. He made us to kind of interact and live with each other a little bit differently, especially when Jesus calls us to love our neighbor. I don't think he probably had in mind whatever that situation is with the whole sign and the arrows pointing. You know, we're in this sermon series that we started last week as we celebrated the death, burial, and resurrection, and we talked about what that actually means and what that actually looks like, what Jesus did and what that example of his death, burial, and resurrection of the cross actually is, how it's meant to impact our lives. And we talked about what it looks like and what it means to love one another. And we talked about how this phrase, one another, I mean, if you want to wrap up what it looks like to follow Jesus, it would be something plus one another. There are almost 60 different commands within the New Testament that involve this idea of one another. And the one that kind of is the umbrella over all of them is love one another. But as we talked about last week, there are a few others that kind of define for us what it looks like to love one another. And today we're going to be looking at one in particular, a couple along with it, that deal with how we interact with people when they're difficult to love. So in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, if you would turn to that, we're just going to be looking at that verse, but I would encourage you to read the whole chapter at some point in your time this week as you read Scripture. But this is what Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says. This is Paul writing to a congregation. He says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." There's all kinds of passages that are similar like this, and I'll highlight a couple more here in just a minute. But you kind of call these one another passages unity passages. The idea is very simple. We have to, at some point, figure out a way to get along with one another. It's an imperative. There are two things the Bible says the world will recognize us as disciples of Jesus by. One is our love for one another. The other is our unity with one another. I don't know if any of you grew up with any siblings before. You think about loving one another and forgiving one another and growing up with one another. I know I have a younger sister whom I dearly love. We had different ideas of how often we should interact with each other as kids. I know, for example, in car rides, I wanted there to be a very clear demarcation for where our seats were. Like, there's a line right there, and you don't cross it. That's your side of the car. This is my side of the car. That was a thing. I distinctly remember that. One of the other things that I remember that we would do, I would do, because I was the older brother, you know, so it was a little bit more annoying, because she wanted to hang out with me. Imagine that. Imagine your sibling want to hang out with you and play with you. So in the morning, our breakfast would be cereal, and my parents, they would have like several different cereal boxes there for us, and they put it on the table, and you kind of pick which cereal you wanted for your milk. Well, I would take the cereal boxes, and I would create a wall, and so I could kind of hide behind that, and, you know, so I could read the back of it, you know, and follow a little maze or something like that. But I wanted there to be like a, because otherwise she could look at me, right? And you just can't do that, you know. Stop looking at me. She's on my side of the car. What's going on? I'm proud to say both of us, my sister and I, we both survived all of that. We love each other. We're family. My parents have almost recovered from that. They're getting close, but some of us, I mean, we've been in relationships. We've had maybe not as silly as that either, where we've been in close relationships with people, sometimes family, dear friends, coworkers, where we got to figure out how to get along with one another, bear with one another, and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, she looked at me. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. There's three main sections of this verse. The first is bear with each other. Second is forgive one another. The third is forgive as Christ forgave you. Now, bear with one another. I want to give you just a very deep theological definition for what this means. It means put up with each other. you gotta put up with each other. If you care at all about treating others the way that Jesus did, you have to figure out a way to put up with another person. The death of resurrection of Jesus is the best expression of this, the way that he puts up with us and still dies for us and lives for us. One of the greatest expressions of love is putting up with people. We get on each other's nerves. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. Get over it. Maybe that sounded a little bit harsher than what I meant. That more like, ha ha, get over it. You know, we can do that together. I want us to participate in an exercise together real quick, if you would. Could you just turn to your neighbor, to the person that you're with, and just say, maybe it's two people back and forth, and just say, you're welcome. And turn to the other person. Maybe it's a person behind you, in front of you. You could just turn to them and say, you're welcome. For putting up with you. Yeah, and we could do it. We could do it for each other. You guys could tell me you're welcome. I could tell you you're welcome. You know, even Jesus, who's the only perfect person to ever live, sometimes he got fed up with people. Sometimes the people he was closest with. One time he was frustrated with his disciples. This is in Luke chapter 9, verse 41. They couldn't heal a demon-possessed boy. These are his best friends. These are the people that Jesus is closest to. He's pouring his time and energy and teaching into. And look at Luke chapter 9, verse 41. He says, "You unbelieving and perverse generation." This is now going to be my insult for my friends from now on. "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you?" And then he says, "Bring your son here," because he goes on and heals the boy. We've all felt that way before. We may not use that particular language. But how long shall I stay and put up with you? I don't necessarily recommend you like speaking like that to your spouse. Like that's probably not going to be the way to kind of progress things forward if you're having a conversation or a disagreement or a grievance with one of you. But that phrase, put up with you, I mean, it's the same thing as bear with one another, bear with each other, the same Greek word. Jesus said, the world will know that we are his disciples if we love one another. And if putting up with people is a part of loving them, and it is, bear with one another, it's an important skill that we have to learn. I just want to highlight three other bear with one another passages in Scripture. We'll look at these kind of quickly. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. "And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone." You're gonna be in situations, you're going to be in relationships with people who are causing problems. And not only do we put up with that, but we engage with that as well. Paul says, hey, we got to warn them. We got to talk with them. Unity isn't just about letting everyone do what they want, and then we just kind of move on. You know, sometimes we may have to. There's always that caveat. Or we just kind of immediately, if something happens that we don't like or makes us feel like, oh, now I'm not as happy as I want to be, that we immediately just head the other way or just write the person off. He says, help the weak. This is part of bearing with and putting up with everyone. Be patient with everyone. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We're told to be humble before one another, gentle. It's having the strength, you know, to deal with the thing that's going on, but also not being willing to hold it back and be patient with someone and help them learn and understand what it looks like to actually love one another and be in unity with one another. Putting up with each other is about humility. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week, because that's a big other chunk of what it looks like to one another, each other. We'll talk about that more next week. And this last verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Paul writes, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Again, that continued theme that we already read in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Putting up with each other is about being kind and compassionate. It's, kindness, A lot of people somehow, I think, get consumed with the idea of niceness, which I would say is different from being kind. We can talk about that more if you want to after the service. And niceness comes along with this idea of you just let kind of whatever happen with someone. You want to be nice to them, but kindness is much more involved. It's engaging in the relationship and actually caring about the other person. Compassion is about trying to put yourself in their shoes and share their perspective. Someone is going to drive you crazy. Trust me, I know. I've been there. I experience it all the time. But, you know, I'm pretty sure I drive some people crazy too. And taking a beat and recognize that God calls me to put up with other people. He also calls them to put up with me. You know, gives us a little bit of a pause and a little bit of perspective of what it looks like to treat other people the way that Jesus does treats us. This is what it means to bear with one another. So you think, well, who is driving you crazy? No elbows to anybody next to you. Who is being idle or disruptive in your life? Who is disheartened or suffering? Who needs encouragement? Who are the people that you need to put up with? And what does it look like to do that? Even when it gets annoying, even when it's not best for your own, you know, emotional well-being. What can you do to show the love of God to them? You bear with them. You know, Paul gives us several different things. The New Testament gives us several different things of what it looks like to put up with people, difficult people. And a lot of it comes through how we would think about how we want other people to put up with us. And so if we were just kind of highlight just a little list of what it looks like to bear with one another, this is probably close to what it would look like. Here's how you put up with people. Kindness, gentleness, patience, encouragement, and teaching with love, which sometimes requires warning and saying, hey, you know, what you're doing isn't right. And putting up with the need to still be in relationship with that person and teach them what it looks like to be unified and in a love one another type relationship. God puts up with a lot from us. We've got to learn to put up with other people as well. The second big idea in our passage is forgiveness. And this is why. Because putting up with someone includes forgiving them. And sometimes we come up against things that seem so difficult that maybe we can't move past it. And part of putting up with other people is forgiving them. You take a second and think about how much forgiveness is actually part with one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgiveness is a big deal to God. In Matthew chapter 18, this is the passage that Sarah read for us earlier. Like, we read through this interaction that Jesus uses as a parable to illustrate what it looks like for God to have forgiven us and how often we misunderstand what that looks like. Because we have this one debtor who owes the king an amount of money that he could never repay in his life. It just wouldn't be possible for him to do that. But his response to the forgiveness that the king gives him is to then go require somebody else, a peer, somebody else that he knows, to give him something that is not nearly the amount that he was forgiven of. And so it's that perspective that is kind of missing that we just kind of, I don't know, we often want people to think of us or assume about us different things than what we tend to think about and assume of other people. You know what I'm talking about when I say that, right? It's, we look at somebody else and we say, oh, they cut me off or they did this thing, you know, because they were intentionally out to get me. They probably didn't even see you or know that you were there. They probably didn't have any clue. And if it were us, if we had done the thing and we were kind of embarrassed by it and stuff, oh, it was just because I'm distracted because of this other thing is going on in my life or this big burden that I'm carrying, you know, this person doesn't know and I just wish they would know that I didn't do it on purpose and I didn't want to. That's often, though, not our default with other people. Jesus wraps up this whole teaching that Sarah read in Matthew chapter 18. He says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Jesus is with his disciples in Matthew chapter 6. This is a teaching that he repeats multiple times in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15. He says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. There's some misconceptions that we have with these passages, I think. where we think that in order to forgive someone, we just need to be okay with what happened. But that's not what this means. That's not what forgiveness looks like. Forgiveness is hard. If you've ever had a grievance towards someone, you know there might be a really good reason for it. Maybe they killed your dog. Maybe they hurt you in some other way. Maybe they ruined something you held dear. Maybe they caused you trauma. Maybe they physically, emotionally, mentally in some way have harmed you. Maybe they've left you rightfully angry in your life, and forgiving them is the last thing you want to do. Listen, I know what it's like to have a list. I'm sure there are probably other people, if you'd be willing to be honest, you know, would admit that too. You've probably had some people, maybe have some people right now that are kind of on your list. There are people that you're like, I probably haven't forgiven them. Not yet. The forgiveness sometimes is the last thing we want to do because we think that the only way we can punish them is by withholding our forgiveness from them. But forgiveness is not about letting people off the hook. It's not about approving of what they may have done. Our forgiveness for another person is not the same as God's forgiveness for us. It's just not. God can let us off the hook with his forgiveness. That's not what it is for us with other people. In fact, this other person, they may not even have a clue of what they've done and how it's impacted you. And there may not be an opportunity for you even to share it. They don't carry it like you do. They don't lay awake thinking about it. Forgiveness isn't something you're doing for them. Forgiveness is correcting something in you and me. And it's correcting how God treats us and how God handles us and our need for forgiveness with him. It's so that you and I can let go of the past grievance that is holding us frozen in the moment. In the past, when that offense took place, and let God move in and start to heal you in that space so that from there you can move forward and finally understand what it looks like to not only accept God's forgiveness of you, because you probably misunderstand how that works in your life as well, and so you can live that love out and that forgiveness with other people. And maybe with time and with the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit and healing, there can even be peace. In some situations, maybe even unity, where there might be able to be an opportunity to have a restored relationship with that person. Perhaps maybe in most of the situations that we let drive us apart. Look, I'm not saying that there aren't big, huge things that people have done that may need for us to be forgiving them at a distance. But we do need to be thinking about what our lack of forgiveness might be doing in our heart and our mind and how it's keeping us from understanding what God does for us. Forgiving is part of the putting up with that we're called to do. We don't approve of the fault or the sin, but we can empathize with humanity and their being an image bearer of the Creator, that they're broken and in need of God's love just like you and me. Forgiveness is one of the most difficult things that we can possibly do. Love is difficult, but it's so important to healing our world. And it comes from this idea of bearing with another and forgiving one another. Comes with the idea of God having forgiven us. That's how Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 ends. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. The idea of unity and loving one another and putting up with people despite their faults has been modeled by God himself. We celebrated this last week, Resurrection Sunday, and we talked about what it looks like to experience that kind of forgiveness. Romans chapter 5:8 was one of the verses that we read. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus rides into Jerusalem knowing that he is going to be killed, that he is going to become a living sacrifice, and yet he still goes through with it. He showed us what it means to bear with one another and to forgive with one another. The question for us is, do I forgive the way that Jesus does? I'm going to let you know, I already know the answer. At least I know the answer for me, and I'm assuming a lot of us are in the same boat. No. But it is something that we can work on. It is something that we can practice. It is a spiritual discipline in what it looks like to love one another that we are called into. It takes some intentionality, though. Right now, if you were to think of the one person that you had the hardest time putting up with, you probably don't have to think very hard. Think about how annoying and overbearing and exasperating they are. Can you feel your blood pressure rising yet as you think about that person? Take a second, just for a second, just like Jesus, you know, go ahead and ask, how long must I put up with you? You know, like it's okay. Like that's Luke 9:41. You just keep that in mind. And then let me just suggest something. You don't have to do this, but I want to encourage you to do something with this person. Maybe commit to praying for them each day this week. Maybe you have a list, you know, of people where you'd rather not forgive. You know, there's some things, there's some legit grievances that you have against them. God has some legit grievances against us as well. And maybe turn that list into a no forgiveness list, into a prayer list this week. And take a moment and take each of those people by name and pray for them each day this week. Pray that God will help you forgive them. That's for you. That's for your healing. It may still be raw, but it's going to be hard to heal onto something if you don't let it go. And it may take years for that to happen. It may take a long time. But pray that God will help you forgive them. Pray that you can be patient with them, that you can have compassion as you think about them. Pray that you will be kind if and when you have to interact with that person. Pray that you can love them as Jesus has loved you. Listen, sometimes people are the worst. Sometimes we're the worst. And sometimes we've staked a permanent sign with an arrow right to that person in our heart and our mind. And we've got a label for them with a grievance that we've made a conscious decision to hold bitterness and resentment in our hearts for. Maybe we do away with their existence if we could. Sometimes people are the worst. Sometimes we're the worst. And if all the people in the world had someone who had to put up with or had agreements with were removed, you know, there wouldn't be any of us left. We wouldn't exist. And at some point, we got to learn, because of how Jesus has forgiven us, to put up with each other. But if we all forgave the way that Jesus forgives us, I don't even know, can you conceive of what that world even looks like? I do know that as a congregation, as a church, as a body of believers, as Christians, like that is the type of world, that is the type of existence and relational well-being that we are called to model and enter into with one another. If we forgave the way that Jesus forgives us, man, can you even imagine what that would look like? And we're called to lead the way in this, in our relationships with other people, because Jesus led the way for us and shows us the way as we're disciples of His. Just as other people have to put up with us, and just as God puts up with us, we're called to forgive one another. And we're called to be unified and at peace with one another. One of the things that we do every week at Velocity is we take communion together. And we do this because we are modeling the unity that Jesus brings us into. And what I want to do that's a little bit different than what we typically do is we have communion stacked in two cups that are on tables throughout the room. And what I want to ask you to do is actually to go get that now, but don't take it yet. Come back together, and we're going to sit together and take communion together. I'm going to talk us through a couple things real quick. So I'm going to invite you to go ahead and stand up now. There might be a table right behind you or to your side. Grab communion, and we're going to come back together and share in that time together.